beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's got to be a little rain sometime. When you take, you gotta give. So live and let live or let go. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. And it's telling me that things are not the same. In the leaves on the trees, at the touch of the breeze, there's a pleasing sense of happiness for me. There is only one.
I beg your pardon. I never promised you an interview with Lynn Anderson, but I'm getting one anyway. Here we go. We have Lynn Anderson with us, and of course, you remember her from that great song, I Beg Your Pardon, I'll Never Promise You a Rose Garden. I love that song, by the way.
Oh, thank you. You ought to hear it done bluegrass, Mark.
I have heard it done bluegrass because I have with me the Bluegrass Sessions.
What do you think?
I like it. I like the original even more, but the new one's cool, though. You know?
Well, yeah, that's the big question is, you know, like once I hear it, like the classic version, the original one, it's really hard for me to hear somebody do an old song over, you know, because I've always got that original one in the back of my mind. But I'm dying to hear what people think about the new one.
Well, you know, when you have a song like Rose Garden, which of course Joe South wrote and you put into the stratospheres, everybody in the world has heard that.
Yeah.
So many times. It's in their I mean, I don't know anybody. I said to a few people, I have Lynn Anderson coming on the show, and they're like, oh, wow. I beg your pardon.
There you go. Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's always going to be identified with you. So
right.
This new version is an excellent version. I enjoy it very much. But
well,
again,
you know, it reminds me of Gentle on My Mind.
Yeah, a little bit. A little Johnny Hartford type sound there.
Yeah.
I like all the songs here. I like Under the Boardwalk and Big Girls Don't Cry, and some of the songs like Cry. And there's even a bonus in the there's a DVD of you doing Cry and a nice Anderson interview there too.
Well, you know what? That's the first video I've ever done.
Really?
You believe that?
Wow.
It's like my biggest hits were all like in the 70s.
Yeah.
And by the time video came around in the 80s, you know, the only big hit I had in the 80s was Under the Boardwalk.
Mm-hmm.
And the duet with Gary Morris. Do you remember You're Welcome to Tonight?
Right.
But it was like I didn't get to do a video. So this is Cry is the first video that I ever did, and I'm just, it's very simple. It's not like a big production deal, but I'm so excited because, you know, it's like a whole new deal for me.
Have you thought about kind of doing videos for some of the old stuff?
I would love to. And, you know, I think I did a lot of television. Heck, I did TV with everybody from Bob Hope show to the Dean Martin show, Red Skelton, all that stuff.
And, of course, and Lawrence Welk as well.
Lawrence Welk, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which was, of course, before Rose Garden,
right.
Rocky Top,
yeah.
And that. But I think it would be fun to go back and pick up some of that old video of mine from the old TV shows.
Sure.
And intersperse it with, you know, how does she look now? You know.
Well, you know, it could easily be done too, and in fact, would be a really nice idea for a complete DVD. You know,
you
Lynn
think?
Anderson's greatest hits on DVD.
Well, I get to do a DVD on next weekend, not this weekend, but like on the 27th. We're doing a live performance from Renaissance Performance Center just outside of Nashville. So I get to do a whole performance DVD of my whole concert act, you know, and we're taking obviously the old songs done like I've always done them,
right?
But we're going to take this all the way from Ride, 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 which was, you know, the first stuff,
right?
And do them in the classic mode, and then bring it up to the present.
Well, see, if you do it in the same style, with the same kind of beat and stuff, you could actually mesh it pretty well with some of the old concert footage and have a really cool juxtaposition on the DVD, a couple special tunes maybe you could do like that.
I'm hoping that they're going to be able to work it out exactly like you're talking about, because I've got some nifty old footage that might, maybe we can like play that on the big screen behind.
Well, Natalie Cole, look what she did with her father there, right? I mean, you could even do a duet with yourself. It'd be kind of interesting.
I hope, well, that's a great idea. I don't think they've thought about that, but, you know, I've got a lot of ways to work this, using what I did in the past with what I'm doing now.
Yeah, and you mentioned Ride, 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 which was your first Top 40 hit in 1967. A lot of people don't even know your mother wrote that song.
Yeah, she did. She's excited that I've redone it, you know.
Yeah.
It's completely different than bluegrass, but we're going to do that at the beginning of the show because I had, it's hard to figure out how to pace my show, and I've been fighting with it for weeks now, trying to figure out how to do it and not insult the fans that have been there a long time that remember the original versions.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to admit that there's a whole new generation out here that's never heard me, you know. Trying to take that old stuff, we're going to do the original version of Ride, 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 and do like the original stuff on those big 70 hits like You're My Man and What a Man My Man Is and those things. But then we're going to do a bluegrass set where it's just acoustic and do, what are we going to do? Well, obviously Rocky Top is a bluegrass classic.
Mm-hmm.
The John Prine song Paradise has become a bluegrass standard,
mm-hmm.
But I don't get much credit for it,
mm-hmm.
even though mine was the first record.
Well, it's interesting to note, I mean, I think that since Alison Krauss and some of these folks have been out there, really, bluegrass is kind of Northern Lights. Bluegrass has kind of become a really popular thing now.
Well, and I think that's the reason, of course, why they asked me to do some of this stuff bluegrass. It's an interesting idea. I guess they say if you keep anything long enough, it comes back in style.
Well, why not?
Yeah,
let's talk a little bit about you growing up. I know you were born in Grand Forks, North Dakota, but you grew up in Sacramento. Tell me a little bit about the things you were listening to on the radio at the time. What were some of your influences? And I guess, you know, Mom was obviously a musician. Was Dad as well?
Yeah, Daddy was always involved, but more as a publisher and just kind of standing there and backing up Mom. The song The Fugitive that was Merle Haggard's first number one record was Daddy's idea. So he's on that song as co-writer. When I was growing up, Mother was writing for people like Merle Haggard and Buck Owens and Freddie Hart and, you know, the California country contingent.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, there was kind of a big competition between California and Nashville.
Right.
You know, I was a founding member of the Academy of Country Music on the West Coast. I'm member number 12. I was there the night the organization was put together with like 20 people sitting in a room in L.A. But, you know, and it took a while for me to be accepted in Nashville because I was this teenage blonde chick from California.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I did Rocky Top that they realized I was serious about singing country music and, you know, living in Nashville, and there it is. When I was growing up, I listened to, obviously, the Merle Haggards, you know, that California country bunch, but my grandmother bought me a record one day and brought it home and said, you need to listen to this. And it was Buddy Holly. I grew up, I would buy Marty Robbins' Gunfighter Ballads and Trail Songs. I learned every one of them. Interesting enough that the guy that was responsible for a lot of that Marty Robbins stuff is Bill Vornick, who is the producer of this, Bluegrass Sessions. And you mentioned Alison Krauss. Bill Vornick produced her first three or four CDs, worked seriously on the Oh Brother Where Art Thou stuff, produced the Grammy winner last year for bluegrass, which is the Bill Monroe. My influences were, I loved Elvis. I loved the Beach Boys. I loved Brenda Lee. I bought Ray Charles, the Born to Lose album, you know, that was his interpretation of country.
Yeah.
But I was right dead in the middle of being raised with country music because of I sang harmony with Merle Haggard when I was 12 years old, you know.
Yeah, it was kind of nice they were around the house, you know.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Like, they'd do a concert in Sacramento, California, and they'd all come to the house afterwards, and Mom would cook bacon and eggs, and we'd sit around and sing. And I couldn't go to the concert or the bar because I was too young.
Right.
But I got to sit around the living room and sing with Merle and Buck and those people. So I was deeply immersed in country music, but in the California background, I was trying to, you know, be able to go to school without them calling me silly names. You know, I had to speak Beach Boys, you know. But I interpreted it as a country kid. I rode my horse to school, sang country music. They thought I was an idiot.
You mentioned the Academy of Country Music, and it must have been a thrill for you to win the top female vocalist award from them twice.
Well, I was there, like I said, from the ground floor. So the first year they presented an award, I won for up-and-coming, you know, most promising. I mm-hmm. can't remember exactly what it was called. And then the next year I came back and won top female vocalist.
And, of course, even more, I always think that this is the epitome when you are a singer, is to win a Grammy. And, of course, I believe Rose Garden took you to that plateau.
Absolutely. And I was nominated. I was in the top five, like five times with Cry, you know, for top female vocal performance. I think Tammy Wynette beat me.
Yeah.
You know, I was right in that hotbed of stuff. Top of the World won the Grammy for Best Country Song, but my performance didn't win that year. Mm-hmm. But I was still instrumental in it, you know. I was in that top five like five or six times back in the 70s.
Yeah, you've had 64 Billboard hits, which is amazing.
Wow.
18 top tens, five
wow.
number ones.
Oh, you've done your homework.
Well, I mean, it's quite a career, and it's continuing because this is going to be going places as well. The Bluegrass Sessions is available from DM Nashville, and it's a really nice CD. I enjoyed it.
I'm so glad to hear you say that.
Yeah, it's a different take, you know, but it's nice. It holds up on its own.
Oh, good. That's the scary thing. Having been around as long as I've been around, you know, it's hard for an artist like myself who has been around for a long time to get played on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, and it will be. It's scary out there, you know.
Well, it's very difficult with all the consolidation in radio, so.
Yeah. And with all the really kind of a closed shop thing in Nashville with the mainstream recording, they are looking for a specific thing, and unless you are 30 years old or under, you know, they don't want to hear from you.
Mm.
So this is a whole new deal for me.
Yeah, Janie Fricke also did a bluegrass session as well.
Absolutely, with the same people. And interestingly enough, Janie and I, of course, worked together a long time. She came to Nashville to be my background singer. And she sang harmony with me on the road for several years. And then I quit. I got married and quit and went to Louisiana to have babies and stuff. And basically, CBS gave her my recording contract.
And she's done quite well.
She's great.
Mm.
I love Janie. We've gotten to kind of work together a little bit on this project because we're doing the same things with the same company, and I think we're pulling for each other.
Now, you mentioned babies. How many children do you have?
I have three.
And how old are they?
Well, I have two daughters and a son. My daughter is 22. My son is 24. My older daughter is 32.
Wow. Now, any of them musically inclined like Mom and Grandpa?
Well, you know what? They're all musically inclined.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any desire, for the most part, to go out and do it, other than my son, who has come on the road with me a couple of times and done some singing. And he could do it if he wanted to. He's thought about going and auditioning for Nashville Star, and he's so cute, and he's got all the moves, you know. He goes up there and shakes his little butt, and the girls scream and all that stuff. If he wanted to do it, he could, and he may still go ahead and do that.
No, is that something you're going to be encouraging and trying to help him with, or is it something you're staying out of?
Well, you know what? This is a tough business. I mean, people look, you know, from the outside, think it's all fun and games, but it's really hard work. And my kids have a realistic attitude because they've seen over the course of their lives how my life has been affected, and sometimes it's been good stuff, but they've also seen the downside, the hard work, the traveling, the pain, you know. And like, we had to cancel our interview last week. Thank you for rescheduling, because there's some things that happen that you can't control. You know, there are things that happen that are painful and hurtful, and my kids have seen the downside of this business too.
Hmm.
So I'm not going to force them into it. I'm not going to say, well, here's my son, let's push him into the business. If he wants to do it, I think he'll get there himself.
Does he write music at all?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's good.
Have you thought about recording any of his songs?
Well, not yet, because his songs are all like Brad Paisley stuff. And you know, he likes the stuff going back like from David Allan Coe and... you know, he'll get up there and sing a song like, I was drunk the day my mom got out of prison. He'll sing the Toby Keith stuff, you know, with an attitude. So his stuff is very unique. It's very male, very very young. You know, stuff that I is not right for me, but it sure is right for him.
Yeah. Now, in terms of writing, do you write any of your own stuff at all, have you?
Well, I wrote the B-side of Rose Garden. So I have an 18 million seller song called Nothing Between Us.
Uh-huh.
But I've never had any confidence particularly. I mean, I can write because I learned the craft from my mother, Liz Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a wonderful writer.
Well, Liz wrote a lot of the songs that you recorded, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Big Girls Don't Cry, she wrote that in The Worst Is Yet to Come, right?
Yeah. What do you think of The Worst Is Yet to Come?
I like that.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
That was one of those that she wrote for Merle Haggard.
Oh.
And, you know, that's one of the few that's on this bluegrass CD that wasn't a hit for me.
But it's nice, though. It's a nice song.
I like it, too. And I wanted to do it for my mom.
Yeah?
You know, I wanted to go back and remember some of where I came from and go back and redo those songs in a kind of a modern, in a modern way, because bluegrass is the modern thing right now.
Sure. And, you know, in addition to Rose Garden, you also have How Can I Unlove You, another Joe South song, too.
Right. See, that's, I always thought that song should have been the follow-up to Rose Garden. And although it was a number one country record, I don't think it ever was as huge a hit as it would have been had it been released right after Rose Garden.
Yeah, Rose Garden, though, was a once-in-a-lifetime kind of song. You know, it's like Billy Ray Cyrus with Achy Breaky Heart. Just these one huge songs that just, there's no way to parallel them again because they're just too huge.
Yeah, you know what? Thank God that Rose Garden was not my first record. You know, I mean, a lot of people, I'm looking at people like, oh, let's say a Brad Cotter coming out, or let's use Gretchen Wilson with, you know, her record, Redneck Woman, you know? It's so hard to compare because people will say, well, when are you going to have another Rose Garden?
Mm.
Well, that's a hyper real kind of a situation. Nobody, well, there are a few people out there who are capable of having one right after the other. But to me, Rose Garden is a special song. It's a song that's just as good now, just as well written now, as it was back then. And those don't come very often. That's a, as you said, that's a once-in-a-lifetime song.
The key, of course, was the crossover part. You know, it was number one in country, was also top three in the pop charts. And again, people like Shania Twain and the Dixie Chicks have taken country and kind of brought it over to the pop side anyway.
Well, see, in my era, my taking Rose Garden into the pop charts was something that was very rare. You know, now they kind of geared the business to where they try to make everything a pop crossover. And to me, that's kind of lost the identity of country music to a certain extent. Do you agree with me?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting to note, I mean, you know, Rose Garden was not your only number one country song. I mean, you had a lot of number one hits from How Can I Unlove You and, you know, What a Man My Man Is, a lot of them. So
exactly.
That was just the only one that crossed over.
Well, and it wasn't, yeah, it was the biggie in the pop charts. And I think a lot of people who weren't really country music fans think that was my first hit. they didn't know that I had been recording for several years, and I'd had several hit records and, you know, even some number ones. But that was their first knowledge of me. And therefore, you know, that was the one hit wonder to the, you know, to a lot of those people. That was my only hit because it was the only huge pop hit.
Right. For people who were not country fans, that's Lynn Anderson to them, Rose
Garden.
That's
it. You know, now, although Top of the World made it pretty well into the pop charts, and then Karen Carpenter dropped her version out.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, so she basically killed my record. but it was still number one country. But I think it made it up to like the 30s in the pop charts before the Carpenters came out with their version.
How friendly are people within the country circuit to one another? We've talked with Billy Ray Cyrus. He's a friend of ours, and I know that after Achy Breaky Heart, he was kind of isolated from Nashville by a lot of people. What kind of competition is there? I mean, for instance, Dolly Parton or some of the people who've had Shania Twain. What kind of relationship do they have with folks like you?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think there's a lot, being as Nashville is kind of a small town, and there everybody's competing for the same prize, that sometimes there's more of a competition than there is a friendship. I think that's sad, because, and I think there are people who transcend that. I think Dolly Parton, you know, is way kind of beyond. Oh, good Lord, there's a guy trimming bushes right outside my window, of course, when I'm trying to talk to you.
That's okay. We can't hear it over here, so it's all right.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
But I think, when I was doing a lot of concerts, in my situation, there was always only one girl on the show. So we never got a chance to really get to know and become friendly with a lot of the other women. That's changed. And because I've been in the business for so long, I have made friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I do consider people friends as well as associates in the business. Janie Fricke, you know, I consider Janie a friend, although we don't hang out and socialize because she lives in Oklahoma and I live in New Mexico.
Right.
But I guess I've gone beyond feeling that I need to compete with anybody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I've been able to maintain in this business for, good Lord, I say 35 years, but I've actually been doing this for a living for longer than that. So I don't feel the need to compete with anybody. I feel like I am my own person, and I don't have to be jealous or competitive with anybody. I feel like I can respect other people for their talent and for what they do and for what they give to the business, and I want to be a cheerleader, you know. I'll get out there and say, hey, Gretchen, you know, hell yeah.
Folks out there, if you want more information on all the things Lynn Anderson's doing, you can go to her website. It's Lynn, LYNN-Anderson.com.
Right.
And the CD is called The Bluegrass Sessions, and it's available from DMR. And it's available all over the place. You can see it in every single store. And are you touring at all to support this?
Yeah.
Where are you going to be?
Well, I'm going, Thursday, I'm going to Hartford, Pennsylvania. I get to do the Grand Ole Opry next weekend.
Oh, that's fun.
You know.
Does it still have that kind of aura like it used to years ago?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm totally excited about getting to do the Opry because I've never been asked to be a member. Now, there's a question for the ages.
Mm-hmm.
So, heck, maybe on my second trip around, you know, maybe they'll let me be a member.
Now that you're a bluegrass sensation.
Yeah, now that I'm a bluegrass, yeah, give me a break. But, and then the next week we do the DVD live performance in, at Renaissance Center in Dixon, Tennessee. That's exciting, and I do have a lot of fan club members coming in from around the country.
You're going to have a lot of wardrobe changes for that one?
A couple.
Yeah.
A couple.
No wardrobe malfunctions, though, right?
I certainly hope not. I wonder if I could do a breakaway boob like Janet Jackson. What do you think? I think that would fly in country music.
It would be a sensation.
Well, you know, I know of people in this business who have done that, you know.
Oh, many people. Shania Twain certainly got their through her appearance more than her voice initially. So, you know.
Well, she is a pretty girl. You have to give her that.
So you never know.
You just never know.
Yes, I mean, look at Barbie Benton.
Oh, funny. Yeah. Now, you're not supposed to even remember Barbie Benton.
Oh, how can you forget Barbie Benton?
Well, that's spoken from a guy's perspective, kid. You know, what are you going to do?
Well, she had an incredible voice.
Well, Barbie's good.
Yeah.
And I think it hurt her to be Hugh Hefner's girlfriend.
And the rest of her wasn't bad.
And the rest of her wasn't bad.
She had nice lungs.
See, I don't even notice that stuff. You know, I don't even notice. But you know what? We got several pretty girls in the country music business these days. It's interesting to me that there's two or three of them that look like I did in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Same, you know, I think they all have the same hairdresser and the same wardrobe person. And
well, I'm looking at your picture here on the new CD, and you're still a beautiful woman.
Why, thank you, honey. I was just dying for you to say that.
No, true. I mean, really, you're still stunning.
Well, thank you.
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing, and I really appreciate you noticing that.
Well, how can I not?
There you go.
The naked picture inside, though, really, that was the best part.
You think the centerfold
worked? The centerfold really worked out well.
The centerfold, I mean, that's a new thing for country music.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Particularly in bluegrass, you know.
Yeah, the centerfold, of course, had you wearing some kind of jumpsuit or something. But
nude on bluegrass, there you go.
Yeah, so, you know.
We're gonna make people talk, Mark. Now
well, maybe you'll make people run out and get the CD.
You're going to get me in trouble.
Never. Never. And, of course, the DVD with the great interview, and also they can watch you do Cry, which is kind of fun.
Well, good. You know, we just did it very simply, and that's always been like a big, you know, a big showstopper for me, like, you know, because I sing it big, and I love to do the big ending and the dramatic deal, but they did it completely different.
Mm.
Do you like the new version?
I like the new version very much.
Well,
yeah,
going to be interesting to see what people
think. I like
the
old version better. But
yeah.
I like the new version.
Yeah, I think I do too.
I mean,
but
you know,
then again, there's a lot of people out there who have never heard the old version.
Right.
So this is a whole new deal. This is what they were going for is like, actually, you should hear the outtake. In trying to figure out how to do Rose Gore or how to do Cry, we did it a couple of different ways, and we did a fast, up-tempo, bluegrass, banjo version, you know. Trying to figure out how to do it, but it didn't work. So, and then doing this other extreme way was, you know, very soft and very pretty, and they thought it sounded like Norah Jones.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Well, heck, you were supposed to go with me on that one.
No, it sounds like Lynn Anderson.
Well,
different style.
God, okay? Yeah. I mean, that's when people have asked me about, you know, how do I get in this business and all that stuff. When I was a kid, I used to try to sound just like Brenda Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother would say, there's already a Brenda. You need to sound like Lynn.
That's right.
And that was the best advice I ever got.
And now everybody wants to sound like Lynn.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, they're all going, I want to sound like Lynn Anderson.
Well, wouldn't that be nice?
You better take up bluegrass then.
What a great compliment that is.
Well, you know what? You know what I'd love to do?
What?
I'd like to do the first line of Rose Garden with you.
Okay.
You ready?
Sure.
Okay. One, two, three.
I beg your pardon.
I never promised you a rose garden. Thank you very much. Thank
Honey,
you.
Honey, stick with your radio show.
Yeah, I know. That, you know, people have said, actually, I could use my singing voice as a torture device overseas.
Well, you think?
Maybe.
Yeah?
I hadn't thought about it, but it's a possibility that if I can contribute to the health of this country, that I would go to one of these, you know, Islamic places and begin singing.
Well, you know what? I could send you a track, and we could put you on Rose Garden and play that over and over as a never-ending, you know.
It's a torture device, I'm telling you.
Yeah, you think?
I will tell you everything. Please stop playing that.
Please stop playing this music. I hate that.
I will confess
everything.
Well,
no
Lynn,
love the smart person, please.
Yes. Well, Lynn Anderson, it's a pleasure meeting you.
Oh, thank you so much.
And I hope one day if you're touring Boston, we can actually meet.
Do they actually play country music in Boston?
Yeah, we have it. We actually have WKLB. It's a country music station.
I would love to come up there and visit. Mm-hmm. I really would.
I think it would be kind of cool.
You know what? My son went to school up up not far from there, and I love to come up there into Connecticut and mm-hmm. perform. There's a couple of those great casinos up there that I love to see.
Sure, yeah.
Next time I come up there, I'm going to come haunt you.
Well, next time you're going to be coming to Connecticut, call me well in advance. And, you know, it's like Valerie Harper was in Connecticut once, and her and her husband called, and we had a little dinner together, you know?
There you go. So I'm up for it. You can come introduce me at, what's the name of that casino up there?
Foxwoods or Mohegan Sun, one of the two.
Mohegan Sun is the one I work.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, you know her from Rose Garden, but now she's a bluegrass star. Ladies and gentlemen, Lynn Anderson.
You're hired. You're hired. Just don't try to sing, Mark.
I could just kind of warm up the crowd a little bit.
You think? Know?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah, we could scare them a little bit.
A little bit. You know, I could just say, Lynn can't show up today, and I'm going to be singing for her. And, ladies and gentlemen, I beg your pardon. I would like to sing Rose Garden. No, please stop.
I'm going to do it in Spanish, I think.
That would be interesting.
Se no preocupa, se no te promesar el jardín de rosas.
I like that.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, I mean, well, that was a hit in like 15 countries, so it must have been in a lot of different languages.
Yeah, we started to record it in several languages, but the thing became a hit all by itself, you know, in all over Europe. But Rocky Top is still my favorite to do all over the world.
Now, Joe South, did he ever come over and thank you for that?
Oh, absolutely. I love Joe.
Because he must have made a fortune on that song.
Well, Joe did very well. The songwriter gets paid every time it gets played on the radio.
That's right.
But the singer doesn't.
No, we don't. No, and as a matter of fact, I've had thousands of singers on the show, and every one of them has said to me the same thing, that even if they weren't songwriters, they always tried to put one song on each album of their own, just for the royalty part of it.
Well, sure. It makes perfectly good sense to me. But I've always been surrounded by great songwriters. My mother is a great writer. My first husband, Glenn Sutton, is a great writer. He wrote, I don't want to play house. And your good girl's going to go bad and take me to your world and all that stuff for Tammy Wynette. And I kept saying, oh, gee, that's great. Is that for me? And he'd say, uh-uh, it's for Tammy. So, eventually.
Well, you know what you say to him after that? You say, well, you know, since you're giving all this stuff to Tammy, I have something for you. A D-I-V-O-R-C.
Exactly. You picked that one right up. And then my current other half is Mentor Williams. Now, are you familiar with a song called Drift Away? It's by Uncle Cracker. And it's not a country record, but it's kind of transcended everything. It's Give Me the Beat, Boys, and Free.
Yeah, I thought that was Dobie Gray.
Well, he wrote and produced the record for Dobie Gray ago. And then it's a hit again.
Wow.
Uncle Cracker with Dobie Gray.
That's
so
cool.
So that's been in the pop charts for like 70... It's been in the top 10 for like 70 weeks. I don't know where it is this week.
Wow.
But it's a huge record. So this year, Menner can take me to dinner and buy me some stuff and all that. This year, he can be the star while I'm playing around with this bluegrass thing. See, you know what I'm calling this new deal I'm doing? I'm calling it Old Chicks, New Tricks.
I like that.
Yeah.
Except there's no old chicks, though.
Well, you know.
You're not old.
Well, thank you, sir. But I'm older than some of those other girls out there.
Yeah, you are, but you're also better.
But those new chicks need to learn some old tricks.
That's right.
So this is what I'm calling my new deal. Old chicks, new tricks. See if you can keep up with this, Chiquita.
The lovely Lynn Anderson. You can check her out at lynn-anderson.com, and we'll try to get together with her sometime and bring you a up close look at Lynn Anderson in the future. But it was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it too, and I will look forward to seeing you up down east.
Yes, when you're here, I would love to introduce you to the people at the Indian resorts.
I would consider that a great honor, and we'll keep in touch, and I'll take you up on that.
Okay. Take care of yourself.
I'm planning on it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.